Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Okay.
Are we ready? Are we rolling?
Get your hair done, mate. You're on camera. It's a bit frizzy. You got that bit, you know? You put too much gel in.
I don't do the
in
gel.
In the 70s. Like, it's, but you know the way you used to gel that big
in the 80s, in the yes, 80s, I did.
When you were listening to 1927.
I was.
So I want to talk about my shirt quickly just today before we kick off. And Ange gave me a lot of shit when I put this shirt on yesterday. She said, you can't wear that shirt. And I'm like, why? She said, because of the emblem. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, well, the emblem is George the Dragon. It's a British shirt. She said, Mitch, you're Irish. An Irish person cannot wear a British
just
shirt.
I'm like,
honey, you know, leave it alone. It's okay. And then I sang the song to her. God save the Queen. Fascist regime. Which is a Sex Pistols song. You probably wouldn't remember this.
Is that our theme?
Yeah.
For today's theme song?
That was a great song, the Sex Pistols, man. But she said, Mitch, there was all that genocide happened back there to the Irish people, blah, 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 blah. And I said, honey, you have to just let it go. I like the shirt.
Good
I'm not
for
wearing
you.
The emblem. I'm wearing the shirt.
Good for you.
Okay,
for
I'm wearing the shirt.
Continuing to wear the shirt.
I have lots of British friends who I love.
It's probably going to disappear, though, the next time.
Yeah, it'll be like, where's that shirt gone? I don't know. I don't know. So what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about money.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're talking about money in the sense of how we normally talk about it. We're going to talk a little bit about...
I'm not going to talk about the wealth principles.
No, we're not going to talk about the wealth principles.
I just talked about the wealth principles and saying I wasn't going to talk about the wealth principles.
We're going to talk a little bit about a vision and purpose. Because a lot of times, one of the things we say to people all the time is about having a vision. And when you have a vision that's great enough, the money comes anyway.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of questions around that. So I think that's what we should be covering today.
Well, I think that when people, you know, so I'll say a couple of things, right? Firstly, the quality of your vision determines the health of your wealth, right?
Totally.
And the quality of your vision determines the size of your vision also, right? And now I hang out with – I live in a very affluent area in Perth. I have some wealthy neighbours and I also have some not-so-wealthy neighbours. But they're wealthy as in they earn money but they're broke.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I have some younger mates that earn, like, so much money it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're still broke, you know? And they're young guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, young guys earning, like...
It's such a common thing.
$300,000 a year. It's like, and
there's never any money.
And they're broke. So... I think that one of the reasons that, you know, people struggle with money is that they haven't got a vision. They haven't got a cause or a reason or a place to put it. Now, when people hear that, what tends to go on for people, they think, oh, my God, I haven't got a fucking vision. And they think a vision is something that, you know, a hand comes down from heaven and places it on top of their head and goes, you know, pulls out a job description and says, this is what you're here to do. You will now lead the masses to this place.
Change the world.
You know, and I gave up a long time ago on trying to change the world. And I think the first place to start is to say, look, there's nothing to change. There's nothing to fix in the world. The world is fine.
Yep.
The only thing our job is to do is to work out, okay, what it is we're here to do. What are we here to do?
So when we're talking about, as we go through this podcast, when we're talking about a great vision, we're not talking about great as in size, as in how, you know, we're talking about the great vision for you, for each individual person.
And I think sometimes I see that people are, you know, they scapegoat... Rather than looking inside of themselves and getting and doing what they love, they scapegoat doing what they love by saying that I haven't got a vision.
Yes.
Does that make
100%.
Sense? 100%. So to say.
Do you want to explain the scapegoat thing?
Well, they kind of say the reason I'm unhappy and I don't know why I'm here. Lots of people come up to me and go, I don't know why I'm here. And I'm just like, whoosh. Everybody knows what are here. Everybody knows what it is they're here to do. And everybody knows what they love doing. Everybody does. And so there's a couple of things that go on. If I say to a person, okay, what do you love doing? They go, I love traveling. Well, that's part of your vision. They go, but everybody loves traveling. No, not everybody does love traveling. So they're scapegoating.
Yeah.
So rather than them
going, they're blaming this thing over here for them not living their dreams.
So my vision can't be that I travel. Well, why can't your vision be that you travel? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Why can't travel be part of your vision? And so you said, you know, what do you love to do? And they say, I love being with my family. Well, that's part of your vision. Well, how is being with my family of service to the world? Sure, we haven't worked that out yet, but I guarantee you it is of service to the world every single time. Traveling is of service to the world every single time. And, you know, so people think that their vision has got to be something like Mother Teresa, who they've got to be in an ashram saving children in, you know, the depths of Calcutta, rescuing, you know, prostituted mothers. And, you know, that
can be so simple.
Yeah. It can be really, really simple. The other thing is that what goes on is that people think that their vision and their mission in their lives is based around what they do for work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so your vision and your mission can be that every morning you get up and you take a stool from your kitchen, you sit it at the front of your house, and there's a little old man up the street that walks past you every morning. And, you know, he's 85 years old. He lives on his own. He lost his wife 10 years ago. And every morning he comes past you and you stop and you have a conversation with him. You say, hi, John. And John stops and tells you about his aphids that are attacking his roses. And, you know, and that can be just as noble a vision as Mark Zuckerberg's vision. And, you know, I say this all the time in Letting It Go. Don't fall victim to what the masses do, which is they scapegoat an elusive size or mass of their vision, rather than stopping and going, okay, this is what, you know, I'm going to just start with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with making sure that every day I'm doing something about leading my life in accordance with what I love and what makes me happy and what makes me full and what makes me fulfilled.
Yeah.
And when you do that, when you stop and you start to play with what makes you feel, you know, grateful, a state of joy, a state of humility, a state of love, when, you know, feel, it makes you feel like you're being of service. When you do that, what happens is that that's what starts to come into your atmosphere, you know, your sphere of influence. I'm always talking about how you got to see your life as like a telescope. You're looking through this telescope, and everything that comes into that telescope is based on what your point of view is and where you're pointing your view. And if you're pointing your view at the things that you love doing that make you feel joy and compassion and empathy and care and like you're of service to people, when you're pointing your view that way, well, then life starts to turn up whatever is needed to make sure that you stay on task with your point of view, including money.
Yeah.
You know, so vitality comes when there's clarity of vision and there's purpose and there's mission.
So I think that that's an important point. It's not about the size. It's not about the perception of whether your vision is bigger, smaller, wider, whatever, than anybody else's. But the money doesn't come based on the size of your vision.
Yeah.
It comes based on the clarity of your vision.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that the everyone's got a vision.
Yeah.
It's about people being clear with exactly what their vision is, exactly what this vision brings to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they're clear with that, that's when money follows.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I can understand that people at their – You know, most of the masses have built a life that they want to vacate from, right? So they build this life that they want to get away from 1 month of the year.
Yep.
That's why we have this thing called a vacation.
Vacation.
So a vacation is where a person has built a life that they don't love, and they get to escape that life for a month. And they think that they've escaped the life, but in actual fact, when they're away on that holiday, they're still worried about money.
Yep.
They're still fighting.
They're still emotional about the same stuff that they were at home.
Yeah. And so, but I think that when you're inspired about your life, when you're doing what you love, when you've built a life that you love, and that, so people said to me, yeah, but how do I travel? If I want to travel the world, how do I travel every day? And you travel every day by picking up magazines on places in the world you want to travel to. You know,
we stay inspired by looking at those things and by staying in touch with what it is that your vision is and what it is that you
and
love.
And researching the place, researching the area, researching, you know, immersing yourself in the culture before you even turn up there. And then the more you do that and the more you tune, because life is a vibration game, the more you do that, the more you tune into that frequency, the more you tune in there, the more life tends to send you what is necessary in order for you to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when you're tuned into work, you get more work, you know? And you know, you got to understand that your career is designed to help you to be able to fund your vocation. And when you link how your career is helping you to fulfill your dreams, how your career is helping you to travel the world, how your career is helping you to do what you love, when you'll be happy to go to work. Does that make sense? You'll be happy to go to work because you know that when you go to work and you're earning money, that what's ahead of you is the chance to actually do what you love. Does that make sense? And when you do this, when you start to link and create a congruency between your career and vocation, that's when your life becomes a vacation. That's when you've created a life.
Say it again.
So when you intrinsically link, create the links between your career and your vocation, showing how your career is actually funding your vocation. Your career is allowing you to travel. Your career is allowing you to buy the best guitar. Your career is allowing you to eat in the finest restaurants. When you are allowing you to train in singing. When you get that one is intrinsically linked to the other, they start to meld together, right? And as they start to meld together, like, I can't tell you now in my life what's my career and my vocation. I can't tell you.
Because your career and your vocation are so intertwined that it's the one thing.
I don't know what's what. I literally would be guessing if I was to tell you which one's my career, which one's my
vocation. Well, that's the point you want to get to, because then you don't feel that you want to escape. It's like when you're here doing podcasts, this is fun. This is awesome.
Yeah.
We'll be in a seminar next week. Awesome.
Love it.
We were in India last week. Same thing. It was like there's no line that says, okay, now I'm off work, you know, or now I'm on work, you know. It's just
I think
different elements are the same thing.
Just thinking about that, right? You know the way when you're away sometimes, or when you are, you know, there's times when you're away or times when you're into programs where you're like, oh, I wonder what the kids are doing, or, you know, you start to feel like there's a gap, right? You start to feel like, oh, I know, I wonder what's happening at home. I wonder. You know, what I find when that sort of thing starts to happen, I find that that's really my internal graph or my internal GPS starting to tell me, okay, you need to build more into your life. You know, if you're feeling like, okay, where are the kids? Well, then it's time, you know, to include the kids in what you're doing.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's time to bring the kids in, and like we're going to South America next year with the clients.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to bring the kids to India because they're a bit young.
Yeah.
And Anja's not a big fan of India. And God bless her. She was like, no, you haven't been to India in 4.5 years. You guys need to go back with the clients. But I know that with the Americas next year, you know, my objective is to be able to help the kids to come with us and have that experience with us. So when we're feeling that point of separation, I feel like I'm missing something. The objective is not to cut off what you're doing, but to go, okay, next time, how do I do it with them?
How do you include it?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, because so many people are like, okay, now that's it. I've got to stop work now. I've got to go home. I've got to go do this. I've got to switch off from this, go to this. But it's not the case. It's about how do I bring them together more? How do I mesh them in more?
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. I also feel like, you know, people think, but am I being selfish when I'm doing this stuff? But in actual fact, if your life is not filled with things that inspire you, then your life is filled with things that despair you.
Totally.
You know, I was away with a client that was on Necker Island with Richard Branson. And she was like, you know, Richard just hangs out with us. You know, we jet ski, we have yachting races around the island. We're always on adventures, and he sits and drinks and has beers, and we talk about business. And, you know, that's how Richard is. That's what he does. And so I mean, when we're looking at wanting to build a better lifestyle for ourselves, the road has already been cut. You just have to research what people who are extremely wealthy are actually do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yep. Now, when I'm away, will I take a business phone call? Of course I will. You know, will I talk to a client that, you know, needs some advice because they're having to make a big choice in terms of their business and they need to just bounce something off me? Will I take that call? Of course I will. But that's because the two of them are melded into one another. And if you look at the most influential people in the world, they're just influential and we just look up to them because they're doing what they love, Amelia.
So just talk about then about the clarity of your vision and purpose, the fact that it's combined, and then how that relates to money and wealth.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, when you're on purpose, but people, you know, sell their time for money.
Yeah.
Right, they sell their time for money. I was just talking to one of the clients today. You know, you're selling your time for money and you can't sell your time for money. You have to be able to design a life that you are bringing something to the world, a service to the world that people want. And you're getting paid for bringing a service to the world that people want. And if you're not doing that, if you're not building your life that way, well, then you're helping someone else to do it. Does that make sense? Mm. You're helping someone else to build a life and you're basically negotiating your dreams and aspirations for a wage packet. And in doing that, you're negotiating your dreams and aspirations for a wage packet. And you're doing that probably because you come from a lineage of it, because lots of people before you did it, like your mum did it, your dad did it. In most cases, not in all cases. But the reason we do that is because we're not putting any value on our vision and our mission and you know, the life we want to live. When we're constructing a vision and a mission with someone, the first thing we work out is what their value systems are.
Yeah.
We don't build a vision before we build the value systems. We build the value systems, and out of the value systems, we build the mission. The
vision and the mission. So, but the thing is, and the truth about it is that anybody listening might say, well, I'm an employee.
Yeah.
Am I just giving my values or am I just giving my life away? That's not necessarily the case, because you can be an employee and you can work with someone but still live your life in accordance with your values.
Well, I'm an employee.
Yeah, because the clients are our...
I'm an employee of who's listening to this.
Exactly.
Now, you're an employee of who's listening to this.
Exactly. But like... You can be a receptionist, but love talking to clients, inspiring them, you know, answering the phone to people and connecting with people. And that's your love and that's your dream. Mm-hmm. And that's okay to do that. Do
If you look at who just came away to India with us, right? Yeah. So we have secretaries, people who are in administration.
Network marketers.
NMDs, network marketers. We have business owners in other ways.
But
they are a mixed match of everybody. I'm not saying you give up your career to start your own business.
No.
I'm saying you stop now and realize that your career is allowing you to fulfill your dreams and aspirations. The only reason a person gets pissed off with their career is not because of what the career has done or is doing.
Yes.
It's because they haven't stopped to grab hold of the reins of their life and go, okay, where do I want to travel to next year?
Yes.
You know, who do I want to hang out with?
Totally.
You know, where do I want to be for Christmas this year? Actually, you know what? The kids got 2 weeks off. Where do I want to be on that vacation? Where do I want to... That's when we start to get excited. Now, something occurs, like I notice years ago, before we started to really, you know, implement the tribal leadership stuff, before we started to look at, you know, how the, you know, the tribe and how the culture was within the organization. People who were unhappy in the organization would organize a Bali holiday. And about 3 to 4 weeks before the Bali holiday, they'd start talking about Bali. 2 weeks before it, they're lying on a sunbed in a villa and they've just become...
While they're in the office.
While they're in the office, they've just become redundant in the office. And then 1 week out, they're just... You forget about it. I mean, they've already got sun lotion on, they're tanning and they're not even in
Bali.
They're sipping the pina coladas. So what happens is that they are leaving the organization to go on a vacation. And then I realized the only reason you're doing that is because you're unhappy. you're unhappy in what you're doing. If you loved this, you'd love traveling as much as you love being with the clients, as much as you love being at work, as much as you love being on the phones. And then I realized that the objective is to encourage people to do what they love.
And well, that's exactly what's happening at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. Like the whole business, everything that's going on with us in the business at the moment, everybody is just stepping up because I think when we step up as well, that gives other people permission to do the same. But everyone's just stepping up and really saying, okay, this is how I want my life to work. Yeah. Yeah. I want to work with you guys, but I want to work with you guys while I'm doing this and this and this.
That's right.
And everything is changing in terms of that.
And I mean,
it's lovely to see, isn't it?
It's great to see, and it's a challenge all around. But I mean, ultimately, the objective has always been that the guys get to do what they love and love what they do and get paid for it.
Absolutely.
And so the business has gone very satellite. But that's a natural progression. I think, I think, you know, you can travel the world now and run a very successful business. You can travel the world and be a very successful employee.
Yes, absolutely. You can ask for what you want and get what you want and you still be an employee.
You have to understand. Let's say you got an employer. As long as you can show the employer, like I know when the first last came to us and said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to travel and do this anyway. Fine. The first thing I say is, as long as you can show me a system and how it's going to affect the bottom line, I'm in. So if you want to be able to travel with your work, right? You want to be able to travel with your work. You have to be able to show your boss how it's going to benefit them and their highest values.
Yes.
So if the highest values of the boss is the bottom line, then you got to be able to show the boss that by me doing this, it's going to affect your bottom line that way. As soon as you do that, they'll go to you, I can't question this. Absolutely knock yourself out. Go and do it. If that's how it's going to work, then go and do it.
Communicate to them in terms of their values about how you living your values is going to assist them to live their values.
Now, I know I can hear cogs grinding out there. People going, but I'm a nurse. How do I blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, I get that. But you the first place is you might not have the answer right now. Does that make sense? It might mean that you have to get off this webinar when we're finished.
This podcast, not podcast, now, this
sorry,
second.
This podcast, not webinar. When we're finished. And when you get off, start to look at what you want to do. Start to tune in to what you want to live your life and how you want your life to be. Where do you want to travel to? Who do you want to hang with? What sort of cars do you want to drive? Where do you want to live? What do you want to have? And the big questions of how are you going to be of service? How do you want to be remembered? Stop and have a think about that sort of stuff. And it may not come to you today, tomorrow. It may not come to you for the next 6 months. But the point is that you're starting to do it.
And then so as soon as you do that and as soon as you get clear with what it is you want, what it is your vision is, how you want to give back, as soon as that happens, the money that you're looking for, the wealth that you're looking for, the wealth in knowledge, the wealth in lifestyle, the wealth in money will all come to you.
The other thing is that at that point you start to have love and appreciation for yourself.
For yourself.
Right. And when you start to have love and appreciation. So money flows to where there's deep love and appreciation for the self. And it flees from where there's not. I say it all the time in Mastermind of Money. Show me your bank account, I'll tell you how much self-esteem you have.
Yep.
Show me your bank account, I'll tell you how much self-worth you're able to sustain.
Yep.
And so it's exactly the same thing. You cannot build your net worth without building your self-worth. And you cannot build your self-worth without building your net worth.
Yeah.
So to build your self-worth, self-worth is about when I do what I love, I feel love and worthwhile inside of myself. When I accomplish something, I feel love and self-worth inside of myself. That's how you build your self-worth. You build your self-worth by being able to articulate the gifts that you bring to life, why it can rely on you in terms of time, space, and location, seeing where you've brought these qualities and falling in love with that part of yourself and allowing those qualities to translate into how you want your life to roll out, where you want to travel to, who you want to hang with, who you want to be around. That's how it rolls.
Totally. So one takeaway from today's podcast then would be what?
I think the one takeaway is become really appreciative of your career and how it helps you fulfill your vision and your mission.
Yeah.
Become really appreciative of your career and how it intrinsically is linked to your vision.
Money flows to where it's appreciated most. So when you start to appreciate your vision, you appreciate your career, money will start to flow there.
Yeah. Live your life inspired, people. Yeah. Love is the only way. Boom.